I'm Casey Patterson.
I'm Felicia Jones.
Welcome to Thriving While Black,
the podcast.
Today, our show is very special because we are featuring a conversation with the executive leadership team of Social Good Solutions, which is the firm that I own. And our conversation today is going to be wide-ranging. We're going to talk about what brings us to this work, how we work together, what are our thoughts about building and cultivating a pro-Black woman firm, and how we, as an executive leadership team and as Black women, are building a culture where Black women can thrive. So our guest today is Tiffany Hall, who is a consultant to Social Good Solutions. She works with HR and business strategy. I've personally known Tiffany for 20 plus years. Mm-hmm. She started as one of my mentors, one of my very first professional mentors. And now she is supporting me in growing the firm and building the pro-Black woman culture that I've envisioned. So welcome, Tiffany.
Thank you guys so much. It's good to see you guys.
Thank you for being here.
I'm excited to be here.
So what we're going to do today is instead of doing a traditional interview, we're going to do more discussion topics. Okay. You know, things just that are of interest to us, that questions that we get a lot, things that we talk about as an executive leadership team. And I think it's interesting for people who just want to sort of be behind the veil a little bit and see like how we think about the work, what goes into the work, and how we really are very intentional as an executive leadership team in terms of how we build the culture of Social Good Solutions. It's one of the questions that I get most often when people are asking me about the firm and they're asking me about even how to build their own consulting practices. They really ask me about the intentionality. So I think it's important to share that with people, some of the decisions that we make, the conversations that we have that really go into what it takes to build a firm where Black women feel seen and visibilized and celebrated as professionals, as women, as people in the earth. And so I'm excited that we get to have this conversation today.
I am too.
Okay, so let's start. The first discussion topic is how do we know each other? Okay. So what were our first examples of working together, so our history of working together? How did we come to this work? And what were our first impressions of each other?
I like that.
Okay. Felicia, you want to start?
Well, I got to know Tiffany through you. Mm-hmm. I heard of you long before I met you, and I got to be the beneficiary of all of your brilliance.
Oh,
all the organization, all the excellence. Casey would always attribute that.
That is kind.
To
that
you. Kind. And so I felt like I got to know you in just a beautiful way, just to see her excellence and how she shows up and how she trained us and coached us and like get it right, put it in the right place.
The formatting,
all the eagle eye on everything. And I'm still learning. So it was nice. And then finally, when I actually got a chance to see you in action, and it was just amazing. It was everything that you had already said about Tiffany. You know, I just appreciate your friendship and your willingness to really grow us as women, as a firm. You just bring your A game all the time.
Thank you. And I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, y'all are two peas in the pod. Yeah, you really are. So that was my first meeting.
That's funny because I heard a whole lot about you before I met you as And I was excited because I knew she needed someone local to help support the vision. And it's funny because the vision wasn't as big as she explained it to me early on. Oh, just a small, you know, consulting firm. And look at us now. I mean,
that's what we were when we first, we were just a small consulting firm. I was the only full-time staff member when we first started working together. That's and right. now and we have 12.
12.
Yeah, full-time staff.
And that's full-time, yes, staff. That's not in counting consultants that work with us. So, but I heard a lot about you and everything was true. It's been wonderful. You were already working for in the field for another company. And I was hoping so much that one day from the day I met you, that you would come over and work with Casey full time.
Oh.
Yeah. I was hoping. I wasn't sure.
Me too.
It was a long time coming, but it was in the works. Yeah.
That's been years now for us.
It's been years, yeah. I remember our first meeting was on a Zoom.
It
was. The first time I ever saw you was on Zoom.
Oh, wow.
I believe that. Yeah. Well, because you're based in Atlanta. Yeah. So I believe
that. So we that was a couple years ago.
It was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and well, here we are.
Now, what about Casey? Because
I don't know how we met.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah. Well, she was, well, I met her as our funder, actually. And so when I first met you, I kept thinking, who is this young, smart woman? I felt like I knew all the Black folks who were in either philanthropy or in the nonprofit space. It's like not a lot of young Black folks doing this work. And so when I saw her, I'm like, where did she come from? And who is she? And then I got to know her, I tell this story all the time.
I know, that's why I say, oh,
because she gave us some act right. As grantees, we were struggling to get along with a partner in our region. And she just came in and got us straight. She checked us.
I like
that. And said, you all basically need to be ashamed of yourself. Both of y'all are faith-based organizations, number one. And you work in the region, you need to figure out how to collaborate.
Oh, wow.
And we never forgot that message. In fact, I honestly believe that a lot of the collaboration that happens in the region is because you did that for us.
Oh, wow.
Because it's like, how dare a funder come and check us like that? Casey was that. And it was like she was unapologetic.
Yeah.
But she really cared for our success. She cared about the initiative at the time. Mm-hmm. And we just got to know each other and we became friends. I later started working with Casey with Families and Schools. And we just have had a long time friendship. And I just feel so grateful for it. So
how long has that been?
14 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Kennedy was. My daughter was 4 months old when we first met. Mm-hmm. So it's been 14 years. Yeah.
Long time.
Long time. Yeah. And Tiffany, you and I met when I was volunteering at the Bible college that you used to run. And to this day, my husband still calls you Dean because you were the dean of the college.
My godson still calls me Dean.
Still.
I go, okay, it's Tiffany. No, Dean.
Dean. He still calls her Dean because when he first met her, she was the dean of the Bible college. So that's nice. How we got to know each other.
Oh,
then I started working full time for the church. And like I said, she was my very first professional mentor. And so much of how I work today, I learned from her, which sort of then leads me into the next question, because there's a lot of myths and stereotypes about Black women working together. And, you know, we see a lot of negative images, particularly around powerful Black women and Black women who are in leadership roles or who are bosses or however you want to describe us.
True.
So I think it's important for people to know, how do we build and sustain trust? You know, how do we do that as a group of Black women, as an executive leadership team, so that I think we really defy a lot of the stereotypes, and I think it's important for people to understand how we do that.
Yeah. Well, one thing I would just like to add, kind of piggyback the last question to flow into this. When you talked about Casey being honest and saying you guys need to figure out how to get along, that is one thing that will build it, because I know that will build trust quick, and that's honesty. No matter what it feels like, and have respect for that person, knowing that they're coming from a place of concern and care. right? So they're not trying to attack you or mm-hmm. belittle you or, you know, anything like that. When I met Casey, there were two other young ladies that worked with me. It's three ladies that I kept around me at all times. And what I remember the most about those young ladies, they were smart. Oh, they were smart. They were bright. They were probably the brightest I had been around in my life, honestly. These were three bright young ladies, but they were green and they were young. Mm-hmm. And so it was important to me, number one, to build trust with them, mm-hmm. and which we that got us here. That's why we're sitting here. Number two was to give them everything that I had in me.
Yeah, yeah.
And number three was to listen to them because mm-hmm. I didn't know it all, mm-hmm. you know, and they did. They brought ideas and creative solutions. And I would sit and marvel at them and they're thinking that I'm sitting there trying to give them the next assignment because I was good at that. But I was really just fascinated with how bright they were. And so I think building trust mm-hmm. and that is a key to building this type of working environment.
Yeah. You know what I also realize about our dynamic? Mm-hmm. There's no sense of competition. It's like you know each woman's value, what they bring, and we lean into that mm-hmm. with each other, which I really I appreciate. And the fact that we care to know about each other mm-hmm. Personally, not just in a working relationship. Mm-hmm. And when you know somebody and you care to know about them, it's like you know, you build mm-hmm. trust, but also trust has to be tested.
Yeah, it sure does.
It does.
Oh, we've had it tested. And so it's like, are we still going to be cool when we actually have to, you know, deal with hard things, whatever those hard things are. So, yeah.
I think other than what you all have said, what I would just add is mm-hmm. this sense of knowing that we care about each other's well-being.
That's right. That's
you know, there's something about really believing that the people who are around you care about who you are as a person. I'll never forget those moments with you, Tiffany, in my early career where you spoke into me, even about my relationship with my husband. Like, you were really concerned about me as a human being. And that spoke to me. That made me know that I could trust you and that you weren't going to lead me down the wrong path, that you weren't going to put me in situations that were detrimental to me, that you were always going to prepare me and always going to help correct me and love me. And even if you had to correct me, you were going to do it from a loving place. And the same thing with us. Like, we've always had this spirit of we're in this together. We want the same things ultimately for our community, and how we go about it is through our own individual strengths. But there is something really important about knowing that the person is concerned about your humanity and who you are as a person beyond just the work that you're able to produce.
You know, and I think that's probably the biggest challenge of Black women working together, just because they haven't had those experiences, especially in corporate America.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, and I'm not, you know, that's my background. I came from that area. But I'm not bashing it. I'm just saying that in corporate America, it's almost like climbing the wall. You're competing, there's not that support as it should be, right? And so that's one of the things that I absolutely love about SGS. There's that support there and not that competition. Like, I know my role, right? And I know my limitations. I know what the rules are.
That's it.
I know, you know, what I'm supposed to do and what I'm not supposed to do. And I feel that way about you. And we don't cross those lines. And we talk about it. If we see something we don't agree with, we talk about it. And we don't get offended, because my personality is a little, you know, strong and overbearing. I know that. I'm accustomed to it. I get it. But I try to show people I love them. So if I am, there's grace for me, my personality. because love, a whole lot of love's going to come in it.
Yeah. And Tiffany, you talked about something that I think we need to drop into the room, which is this sense of we're both strong and vulnerable as Black women, women leaders. Mm-hmm. Those two things coexist. And oftentimes we're not allowed to have those things coexist in our professional worlds and our working relationships. So I'm curious, how do you see SGS sort of creating the space for those two things to coexist in Black women, for Black women to be both strong and vulnerable?
I think we're already doing it.
But what does it take?
Yeah.
Support, openness, honesty, to hear them out, to hear your employees out and not treat them. See, I feel like SGS is a sisterhood. Can I be honest and say it was hard for me coming out of corporate America?
Yes, that's
real.
I would write something and be like, if you don't do dot, 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 and Casey would be like, Tiffany? I'd be like, ooh, that was a little hard. You know, these are the guidelines, these are the policies. But I don't get that in SGS. It's a sisterhood, so that you're my sister and not my employee, and yet they respect it. I've only seen that done one other place, and I would have to say, I want to mention this because I thought about this morning at the hotel. This bond, this relationship that SGS has, it's like I've only seen it done one time, and it was a pharmaceutical company that I work for. And I will just be honest, it was all older women, right? Yeah. So they were mostly 40 and older. So they were very mature.
Okay. And thank you for saying mature and not older. Go ahead.
Sorry.
We need that right now.
Mature. And they had life experiences,
yeah,
right?
I love that.
But you know what makes you unique and different from that experience is you are able to create that at SGS with young, bright minds. They're getting this early, that sisterhood. I just watched them light up at different events. And I was talking to one of them on the phone, and she goes, Tiffany, just can you give me a moment? Because I've got to get used to not being in corporate America. Like, this feels good. I mean, like your policy, can I just throw it out there for bereavement?
Yeah.
Casey, 15 days, not including weekends? That is beautiful. That's respect. That's honor. And you're asking, how do you build that? There's one. There's a way right there. It's saying, I respect your pain.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that was born out of my own grief, because when my mom died, it was sudden. It was unexpected. Mm-hmm. And I took 5 weeks off because that's what I needed. I was planning the funeral. I mean, there were so many things, you know, that were coming up. I was dealing with family. There were so many things. And I thought to myself, how in the world do people get by with 3 days of bereavement? How is that even possible? And I just, for me, felt like we need to give people space. We need to understand that this is a major life change when someone deals with a death in their family. And we can't reduce it to 3 days and get back to work and, you know, keep it pushing. We can't reduce it to keep it pushing. So it really came out of things that I needed. And I think to the question about what is needed to build, so much of the policies and the practices that we have in place at Social Good Solutions was really out of things that I needed in a workplace but didn't have.
Oh, I love that.
It was really born out of that. Like, what did I need to be a strong yet vulnerable professional woman? What did I need to still be a wife and a mother and a sister and a daughter and a friend? What did I need to be able to step into my brilliance but not have life punished, you know, when it happened? And, you know, just to feel like I could still be my best even when I wasn't at my best. So that's really a lot of the policies that we have in place are really born out of that.
But you modeled something that you made available and accessible to other women, because you could have, you know, you could have taken that for yourself and then still imposed some harsh policies on another woman. But you chose to model it and then also extend that to another woman. So women, when you when we see the vulnerability of another woman, it gives us permission to be vulnerable.
Yes.
And it doesn't say, well, you know, you know, you tough it out. You know, that no.
Which is what we as women in general, but especially Black women, we are always told, tough it out.
I put on your big girl panties. Mm-hmm. Everybody say that. Mm-hmm. And it's that means no, you don't cry or you don't show your weakness. Mm-hmm. But here, weakness is strength. It's like, no, you need to pause, you need to breathe, you need to have a moment to grieve and be tired. So that you can be your best self. But
because listen, this work is hard. This is what I always tell people. It is hard work to do the work of racial justice. Indeed. And to try to operationalize racial justice in a society that was never created for it to even live, let alone thrive.
Right.
It is hard work. And I'm a firm believer that the work is hard, the relationship should not be.
That's right.
And if we can create the kind of environment where the relationships aren't hard, it makes doing the hard work easier and more tenable and more manageable and more like we can endure it more. Because we know that there is a longevity to this work, and we have to care for each other in the spirit of that longevity. Okay, Felicia, I want to ask you, and I know you guys are going to jump in here too and start asking questions, but what are you brilliant at?
Oh, wow. I knew this question was coming in. Mm-hmm. And I knew I was going to pause for a minute.
Can I just tell you, I don't know how to feel about that question. I know, love it. Like,
I mean, it's a beautiful question.
But it's like, you have to think you're brilliant at something.
I have to think I'm brilliant at something.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's, I do think it's the ability to see the best in people. For me, I love a good comeback story. I love to work with people who are either broken or who need that extra nudge. And I just have a heart for it. So you are loyal. Thank you for saying that.
You have
thank
some stick with itness in terms of
good.
Making sure well, people very, do I'm become the best loyal.
No,
versions
I do.
Of
I really, yeah. I believe. And so I have, and I like to support visionaries. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people can do that without wanting to be the person. Mm-hmm. And so I love being able to support and give legs and support vision, support folks who are working through challenges and being very much a loyal friend and a believer. Because sometimes people actually need someone to believe that they can be more than what their current circumstance is.
That's the organizer in me.
I love that.
When you said about the second chair, because some people are, you know, running from the second chair. They want that first chair.
You really don't want the first chair.
You want the second one. That's where you should stay, you know. But I just, and you can be a first chair. Let's just say that.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. 100%.
But I love that, how you embrace that, and you do it so well.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, Tiff, what are you brilliant at?
Oh my goodness. I told you, it just caught me off guard. Like, I have to admit that I think I'm brilliant at something. And it's
okay to
say that.
And let's give Black women permission to be brilliant.
Listen, I think that's it. To have permission to say you're brilliant at something.
Yeah.
It's almost like we just go, well, I'm pretty good. I'm okay. You said brilliant. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm brilliant at just structure.
Yes, you are.
I love it.
Yeah, if you weren't going to say it, we was going to say it. Come on, Tiffany, pull it out.
Structure. I love it. Yeah. And, but one thing I realized, it's so funny because I plan to tell Gloria about this in our meeting this past week. I missed the meeting, so we have makeup. But I wanted to talk to her about, just to share with her, this is something about myself, that I realized I'm only as good as the people that are around me. I realized that. Like, I took a look back at, in corporate, I always had an assistant. I always had a team, managers around me and directors around me. So I always had a great team.
Yeah.
And you are only as good as the people that are around you. So while I have structure and organizational skills and so forth, I still need help with people around me to help execute those or to embrace it, which I will say SGS embraces that structure. Because I'll have clients who reach out and they'll go, you know, this is what I want, but I don't want this and I don't want this and I don't. Okay, well, I may not be the right one because structure is structure.
Structure.
And the rules apply to everyone, right? And we define the rules. And I love that about SGS that well, something will come up in case it'd be like, what's the policy? Tiffany, is it in writing?
Well, we know you'll get it done.
Let's put it in writing. And I love that, though, because there's no room for wiggle. You know, you go to the policy and I'm not saying everything is flat and solid, but I do like that we have a foundational
point
of starting.
You need a foundation.
Yeah, that's right.
You
know? That's right.
And that's what I'll say I'm brilliant at.
Now we got, I know you've thought about this question for yourself.
Yes, I'm curious to hear.
Yeah, you know, it is an interesting question. I think there are a couple things that I would say. I always tell the story about the best compliment I've ever received from one of the organizational leaders that we work with is a guy by the name of Pete White. Pete leads an organization called LA CAN, Los Angeles Community Action Network, and he's based in the heart of Skid Row.
Oh, wow.
And he has been one of my greatest teachers in this work. And he is not an easy person to please because he speaks truth to every form of power.
Oh, wow.
And he gave me a compliment once that I felt was so genuine because it was coming from him, because I know what a high bar he has. And he told me that I am this rare combination of rigor and love. And I started to lean into that because I think it's true. And it's so interesting because I get the rigor from my dad and the love from my mom.
Right.
And I am a combination of both rigor. You know, we have standards. We are going to work with excellence.
That's right.
We are going to meet those standards. We're not going to be janky, but we need to do it with love. Yeah. We need to have humanity.
That's right.
So rigor and love, I would say, is a brilliance of mine. And then the other thing I realized that I'm brilliant at, because, you know, we did this leadership training at our last SGS team retreat, where we actually saw all of these, like, multiplicities of strengths. Mm-hmm. And I can identify myself in a couple of those, but the one that really connected with me the most was pattern mapping.
Oh.
So I think I am brilliant at pattern mapping because what I can do is sort of see things that look very disconnected and see the relationship between them.
Yes.
And sort of pull together a vision based off of what seems to be disconnected, disparate things and see how they have commonalities or group things together that have the commonalities. For example, this is how we got to the organizational resiliency tracks for the Black Equity Collective. The way we got there is because we had done these surveys of organizations, these sort of intake surveys, to learn what were they challenged by, what were some of their organizational development struggles, and so on and so forth. And when you first listened to them, it just sounded like a laundry list of things, you know? But I could see the patterns between them. And I'm the one who said, okay, we're going to call this type of organizational resiliency build, this type engage, and this type catalyze. Because I was able to put those patterns together. And then from there, Larisha and the others on the team actually built the programs out according to those groupings. That's amazing. What I'm brilliant at.
Wow.
Were you good at that as a child? I'm just curious. Like, did you organize things or no. see how to figure things out like that?
That's I true. Didn't, but I talk a lot about the role of basketball oh, in right, my right. life.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
you so kind of have to see patterns when you're on That's the true. Court. Mm-hmm. So I think I developed the skill of pattern mapping from being a point guard, but I don't have a consciousness about doing it. I do have a consciousness about being a critical thinker. Mm-hmm. My dad was very, very much... Rick, talk about rigor. He was very rigorous about being a critical thinker. And I think that's probably the foundation mm-hmm. of the skill of pattern mapping is being able to be a critical thinker and sort of ask questions that get you to point you in a direction.
Oh, I love that. Pattern mapping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right at that. I was sitting here thinking, I think that's how we got to the BEC is because of yeah. that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh,
Absolutely.
My goodness.
So what makes SGS unique? What excites, inspires you or each one of us about the firm?
I mean, obvious... We're all Black women.
Yes.
Well, at least not all, but we're predominantly Black
women. Yeah, we're majority Black.
Majority.
Yeah, women operated. I think that is definitely a unique factor that we are a consulting firm owned by Black women that is majority operated by Black women, that we work in the space of philanthropy that's very rare, especially because there are so few Black folks in philanthropy. We talk about this a lot. And yet we've sort of built a whole firm around the competencies and expertise of Black women who come from community and who are maybe not natural to philanthropy, but are learning it and are doing it and are creating sort of new ways of thinking and being in the field and in the sector. To me, that this last piece is what makes us truly unique, is that we really believe in this notion of reimagining what's possible. And that's how we get to a place of operationalizing racial justice in particular, because we've always been in this space where this is just the way they've always been done. This is just the way that they've been done, without recognizing that these systems are built. They are constructed. Mm-hmm. And because they're constructed, they can be deconstructed mm-hmm. and rebuilt again.
Right.
But
right.
in order to do that, we have to be able to be in a space of imagination. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes what happens is we are so bogged down in the weight of life, you know, just in getting through the day, that we don't actually have time to pull back and get into a space of imagination. And to me, that's what makes SGS very unique, is that we sit in the space of possibility. We continue to think and dream about what is possible. What can we imagine as possible? How can we be different? How can we accept, you know, what is, but say, well, that's what is, but is that what has to be? And then we create what we want to be. And I think that that has been so phenomenally unique in terms of how we're able to show up in the world, is that people now look to us as inspiring to them. Like the fact that we do quiet time. I can't tell you how, well, and let's just really quickly say what quiet time is. So quiet time is the last 2.5 weeks of August every year, we shut down to the outside world. We don't take any meetings. We don't take any phone calls. We don't do any conferences, no webinars, nothing. Anything that's externally facing, we do not do. We take quiet time to catch up on our work, to meet with one another, to just have some quiet time to think or plan, whatever we need to do during that time. And I cannot tell you how many people have been inspired by quiet time, where they've taken their own personal quiet time or they've introduced the concept in some form or another into their own organizations. And to me, that comes from a place of being able to dream and think about possibilities and reimagine what is possible for work. How can you still be professional and you're shutting down for 2.5 weeks? Well, we'll show you how. You know, that's what I mean by reimagining what's possible.
Being a leader. And I mean... there's so many unique things like that, mm-hmm. but also just the fact that when you hire a woman, you are already disrupting a habit of white supremacy because, one, you're making sure that they're paid fair mm-hmm. and well, mm-hmm. That they have access to resources, benefits, mm-hmm. all those things, but also things like quiet time and the ability to care for yourself, your mental health needs, your professional development needs, but also that when you are hired for the job, you're trusted to do the job and not second guessed. And I think that means so much to women who are brilliant, and you hire brilliant women. And
what did I tell you? I feel like we can find
a black woman to do
anything.
Anything.
And we are literally the most educated demographic in the United States. Nobody is more educated than we are.
And you don't stop their brilliance from shining. So to your point about the resiliency tracks, it's like, you can cast the vision, but you trust that the women can execute it and they execute well. Mm-hmm. And I think that is reinforcing to women who work in this environment. It is a model for others to follow. And it just makes it a beautiful place because you feel like, I see my value in this space. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that. And I think it doesn't matter of their religion who they love I love that. I love we get to be black women.
And we get to wear our hair different ways. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I know that sounds crazy.
Change it up.
We don't change it up. and something about that is actually just feels good.
Free.
It feels free to know that you can be all of that.
Yeah.
In one workplace.
Oh, because I can recall, in corporate, having an interview and trying to switch up my hairstyle because I know I may not get the position because, most of the time it was, a high-level position. And I knew I need to fit in and make them feel good how I look, And I have this little joke with Casey about this T-shirt because I absolutely love the T-shirt.
This is our unofficial uniform.
This is our unofficial uniform. I absolutely love the T-shirt.
Yeah.
But you do realize I don't wear it in what I call Wakanda, Atlanta. I don't wear it.
She doesn't wear it in Wakanda. Can you imagine?
Which is kind of weird, but.
I know.
Yeah.
Because I already know I wore my Black Equity T-shirt and I got them. Rolling of the eyes and all that stuff. Not us, but others.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was like, I definitely can't wear the Trust Black Women T-shirt.
No, I had the opposite reaction. I wore this shirt out and a white man came up to me and he said, I do trust black women.
Oh,
and I said,
beautiful.
Thank you. That was actually beautiful.
Yeah.
I can understand the concern about wearing it in certain spaces, but I did.
And everybody who gets hired gets a T-shirt. And so we have men who have the T-shirt. We have a white woman who's a consultant to the firm who has the T-shirt.
And has worn it.
And wears it proudly.
I love that.
Yeah.
So it's our unofficial uniform.
Yes.
I love it. Okay, let me pull this card so I can see what else is on here.
Okay, what else are we talking about?
What else are we talking about? We didn't talk about our unique professional background. Do we even have time for that, Gloria? Do we have time?
Well, Tiffany talked a little bit about it. She comes from corporate. Mm-hmm. I come from really the nonprofit/philanthropic sector. Yeah. You come from grassroots community organizing and it works. It's a very unique blend.
Yeah.
So the structure of corporate, comes from Tiffany. The grassroots organizing really comes from you. And that I think you remind us what it means to center humanity.
Yes.
I think that's the strength that you really bring from a grassroots organizing perspective and what it means to actually engage community. I really learned, the firm is known now for its community co-design methods, which we have developed and we have pioneered and we have, showcased across the many initiatives that we manage. But the community co-design model was inspired by watching community organizers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it was inspired by watching the way in which there is an intentional investment in who they can be as leaders and the ability of everyday residents to design solutions for their lives.
I see that.
And to not have the solutions be given to them in a very patronizing or patriarchal way.
That's right.
But to say, we actually trust you to be self-determined. We trust you to develop solutions for your lives.
That's right.
And the belief that community organizers sort of operate from in that regard was very inspiring to me. And that's how I started to develop these community co-design models. So that comes from, you know, who you teach us to be, you know, coming from a community organizer background. And then for me, I think from the nonprofit and philanthropic sector, I always remind people that the word philanthropy, the literal translation, is the love of humanity.
It is.
That is the literal translation. And what's unique about the nonprofit sector is that we have a different social mandate. So the corporate sector, their mandate is profit. It is to make money. The government, its mandate is to hold really the tension between individual freedom and the greater good.
Right.
You know, so there's like a tension that government has to hold, particularly in our constitutional republic, where we center a lot on individual freedom, but we also have to look for the common welfare.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Really, that's the role of government. And sometimes the individual freedom wins out, sometimes the common welfare wins out. I think we can all debate on whose common welfare is being protected. That's another story. But I think the heart of it is that's really the tension that government holds. Whereas the nonprofit sector, our responsibility is to community, period. We get a tax break. We don't pay taxes because in exchange for those taxes, we are doing the work of community.
Yes. Yeah.
And that has to be what guides us all of the time. And so I think I really bring that perspective is to say, what are we actually doing for the people? What are we actually doing to make a difference in the lives of everyday people so that we're not just sitting in these ivory towers sort of disconnected, but we're actually doing work that's meaningful, that's going to make a difference in the material conditions in which people find their everyday lives.
You know, hearing you say that, I think that's a clear part of building the culture here at SGS.
Yeah, because
they all share that common, that common ground of building, working towards that. And so, when you were talking about setting the culture up, I was you were talking about Black women working together, which is that culture we have at SGS, which is wonderful. But I was thinking, in order to do that, there has to be a common, agreement, something common that we work towards.
Yeah.
And that is one of the things that makes it so good at SGS. Mm-hmm. We all have that common goal to the point of, I would love, you know, it's my dream. We talk about where do we want SGS to go. I would love to see it duplicated in every major city.
Me too.
It's coming.
It's coming to a
city near you.
Okay, so in our last few minutes, let's answer this one last question before we go into rapid fire. Okay?
Okay.
How are you paving a new way?
How am I paving a new way? Oh, goodness. I would say wow. I wanted to say I was paving a new way by working with younger minds, you know, even with my experience and wisdom and sharing that with younger minds to help them, I like to give them a running start. You know, share some things
that's good.
They don't have to go through, because I can tell them this is usually how this this will turn out because I've experienced it or I've seen it, you know, with others.
My husband calls those cheat codes.
Yeah, that's right. I've never heard that. Okay, tell Jamon I'm taking that
one.
But yeah, I try to do that with younger people because I wish someone had given me a bunch of cheat codes. Yeah. My grandmother and grandfather, I feel like they gave me, you know, foundational things of how to treat people and how to deal with people and your name and your reputation and all of those things, but not in business. And so in business, I'm giving that to that younger generation so they can climb faster.
You certainly gave it to me.
Yeah. Can I just say you far exceeded my expectations and don't take that in a, she was so just quiet and laid back and
really,
yeah, she hadn't stepped into her own, I realized at that time, but she was eating it up. That's one thing I can say about her. Like she was eating it up. And when you have people like that, you know, the possibility is there. I just didn't know if she would ever step into it. And I think just me knowing her and her family, Jamon was a part of helping her step into it. Because she got that foundation from mom and dad, which her mother was hoot. Boy, you had a great mother. Personality-wise, she was amazing. I mean, just love just oozed out of her for any and everybody, you know. But I think you stepping into your own was a part of, Jamon played a big part of that.
Wow. It's beautiful.
What about you? Thank you for saying that.
That's beautiful. I would agree.
How are you paving a new way?
Well, I think it's very similar to you. Mm-hmm. I hope that I am creating room for other mm-hmm. women to have space, certainly in the movement. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm also modeling what it means to evolve and also to stay.
Oh, that's good.
So because there was a point in which I started thinking about, you know, the end of my life as opposed to a new beginning. And, you know, you reach a certain age and you go, oh, well, you know, it's time for me just to move out of the way. But it also is like, how are we actually showing, one, that there is life after a certain point, mm-hmm. that you are also giving space for other women, but also making room for yourself.
Yeah.
And that there's so much more to offer still. The leadership still lives on in new ways, mm-hmm. In new ideas, new formations. This is a new formation for me, and I'm grateful for that. So I feel like that in itself is paving a way because I do think that women who are over 50 are also now becoming increasingly unemployed, trying to find themselves. And so I think it's important that we start to see our value and also reinvent ourselves mm-hmm. and have room to reinvent ourselves and bring all of what we, all of our wisdom, all of our brilliance to new spaces and new ways to share it with community and with a firm like this. So
I love that. And I love that you are encouraging others to see that for themselves as well and to not get stuck and not get pigeonholed. I love that. Yeah.
I feel like when you said that, it was so perfect for you because I feel like when you came to SGS, I saw you take a deep breath.
Yeah.
And that felt good because you deserved it. All the hard work,
thank you.
You know, just knowing your background of the hard work you had put into this and then in this space. And when you got to, you know, where you are now and age and so forth, to step into it and be embraced and be wanted in that space. I saw the resistance at first.
That's what I had to unlearn, how to also to receive what the space was offering. And that's you know, because you sort of, you know, you put yourself low on the totem pole when you're in certain types of work. And
well,
this
that's what
was
we're
like,
finding with some of our sort of newer staff is that there's some unlearning, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of unlearning.
So there's a lot of unlearning and a lot of just trusting what the space is and allowing yourself to just embrace what this space is and what it offers to you as a Black woman, as a professional, as someone who is still on your own sort of personal leadership and growth journey, wherever you are in the stage of that journey. That's I think that resonates not just with you, but with others who have been are newer to the space too.
Absolutely. And before Casey answers that question, what finally got you to the point of taking that deep breath? We never talked about it, but I'm just curious, like, because I saw you hesitant, reserved, wanting it, but not so sure. Yeah. But once you stepped in it, boy, you lit up like a beautiful glow.
There was a moment, and I have to say the moment came mostly because there was a breaking. It was like there's a point at which, you know, as a woman, that either you have to make a different decision for yourself, because you're going to be toxic to everybody around you, because you won't either move because God has told you to move and that there's something more for you. And then you no longer are productive in the place where you are.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm grateful for that. And then just personal life changes, but I'm grateful for that. And also a loyal friend who always saw my value, who always saw my worth, who was always a champion for me, and who coached me through a very tough time of where I was starting to plan for the end as opposed to planning for a beautiful future.
Yes.
And so the combination of all of these things really created the space to be open to the evolution. And the journey began. And so it was a process. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, it's been a process embracing it the whole way.
Wow.
But now, a year into this, it is really beautiful. And I am understanding more of who I am and what I bring to the space.
Yes,
and
that, I love that
is very liberating.
Can I tell you, you just ministered to so many people out there, especially Black women.
Yes.
They do. They feel like they don't have the permission to just be who they are. And when you listening to that and how you got there, it's just like, it's freedom. It's like, okay, you stepped into it. And when I say you stepped into it, you're doing your thing.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Likewise. Yes. But this is what this does. Sisterhood does that.
Yes,
but you,
it does.
Casey, tell us, you.
How are
you
paving a new way?
Clearly you're paving a new way for all of us. So we're grateful.
We can make a list for you.
Yeah. We can make a list for
you. Well, the one thing I really want to zero in on is on the pay equity.
Yes.
I really think that I am paving a new way around pay equity, because Black women, on average, make anywhere between 58 cents and 62 cents on the dollar to white men.
Yes.
And that gets exacerbated even more in the nonprofit sector when most of the work is led by women of color. And so you have this perpetuation of pay inequity. And, you know, for me, I am hoping to pave a new way by correcting that and by allowing Black women to see and understand their value to build wealth, so that they can continue to invest. Because as Black women, we invest in our families, we invest in our community. So when we come up, it's not just us coming up. We bring everybody with us,
right.
You know, whoever everybody is,
right.
You know, in our world. And so when we actually invest in the economic empowerment of Black women, it's for the benefit of the entire community.
Right.
So for me, I feel like that's one way that I'm paving a new way, not just with pay equity, but really making sure that we're hiring Black vendors, that we are building the wealth, you know, of other Black women as well, and hiring them to do things for the firm, to, you know, help sort of build their own businesses as well as we are building ours. So that's how I'm paving a new way.
Can I just piggy that yes, the pay equity. And, you know, I had a worked with the company one time, and they were, you know, paying salaries were higher than normal, and they were, you know, very proud of that. But then when I started to break down the hours that they were spending to earn that money, it really wasn't a lot. So I want to just speak to the work-life balance at SGS.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I just think it's remarkable, because although you are paying them at that rate, you're not saying, well, now that I'm paying you more, then I'll need a couple of more hours so I can get that money back or make it worthwhile. You're creating this work-life balance for all of them so that they're not drowning in it, but they have time to spend with their families. And that's important to you because you know you like to spend time with your family. You are an amazing example of what you're offering. You're not just saying, well, I'm the CEO, so I can spend time with my family. No, you're these same benefits you're offering to them. You know, work your hours, have a life with your family. She's smiling, little newbie.
I appreciate that. We work hard.
You definitely get it done, but you're not covering their space to where they can't have weekends and different things with their family. And I love it.
We have to be sustainable in the work. We really do. We have to be sustainable. This work needs us to last.
Yes.
We have to be concerned with our own longevity and our sustainability.
That's right.
Well, this has been fun.
It has been fun.
Hey, can we promote the young lady who designed these t-shirts?
Sure. She's actually off of Etsy. It's an Etsy shop that we buy the shirts from. So I think as we air this episode, maybe we'll
put her at the bottom.
Or something like that.
That'd be nice. That'd
be great.
Yeah, because we buy them every time we have a new staff member, new team member.
It is just one thing. We didn't talk about it, but I do want to acknowledge that I love this because you brought me in the fold, telling me we always try to look for Black
vendors.
We do. Yeah.
And I love that. And the woman that designed this is a Black.
That's right. That's right. This is an example of how we're helping to build other Black businesses.
That's right.
Yes.
We're doing that.
Okay, let's do our rapid fires. Okay.
Do we have time for our rapid fires? Okay. Yes, we do. Okay. Am I doing them for us? All right.
Put them in the room.
Okay.
These are just quick. No explanation. Quick. Just respond.
Yes. Just okay. So starting, Waiting to Excel or How Stella Got Her Groove Back.
I'm just gonna be Waiting to Exhale all day.
I'm gonna say How Stella Got Her Groove Back.
Really? I'm a Waiting to Exhale.
Waiting to Exhale.
Okay. Next one, New Edition or BBD?
BBD.
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 Okay. All right. Favorite hairstyle?
Fulani twist. I like, or excuse me, Senegalese twist. I like Senegalese twist.
Okay. So not on me because my head is too big, but I love Bantu knots. Oh, I love those.
Yes,
women with a nice small head.
I'm gonna go back old school because I used to like the little wrap braids. I want to get those.
That reminds me of Poetic Justice.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Okay.
She went back on us.
I went back. I'm like, I'm going to take it back to the 90s. Okay, Cosby Show or Different World?
A Different World. Yes. HBC.
A Different World. Yeah.
Okay. Come on. Yes.
Okay. Favorite female rapper?
Oh, you're not giving us options?
No, you have to tell us who it is.
I'm going to say Foxy Brown.
Oh, wow. Okay,
I know. I'm a 90s girl. That's taking it back.
Blast from the past.
That was funny because I was going back too, but please excuse me, Lil' Kim.
Ooh, look at y'all. Okay.
I know you see me in the video. True.
Yes. Who is mine? I'm gonna keep it West Coast. I'm gonna go with Yo-Yo.
Oh yeah. Oh, okay. She has a cooking show now.
Does she?
Yeah. She has a cooking show.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, that's kind of cool. Okay. What is your go-to recipe?
Go ahead, Casey.
Depends on the meal. Yeah. If it's breakfast, then can't nobody touch my breakfast potatoes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good.
If it's dinner, I'm going to say red beans and rice.
Okay. If it's breakfast, I'm in the South. It's going to be biscuits, grits, cheese and eggs, and probably turkey sausage or something like that.
Yeah, I'm realizing.
But wait now. If it's dinner, it's going to be blackened catfish. broccoli and cheese over a bit of rice. Yes. What? Brown rice, that is. Yes. Mm. That's my go-to.
Okay. Easy. I do a herb salmon. That's what people seem to like. That's a go-to.
That sounds fancy.
And then on any regular Tuesday night, it's some turkey tacos.
Oh yeah, I love that. You're in LA. Come on, turkey tacos.
So it's like some turkey tacos. Idris Elba or Michael Ealy?
Idris Elba.
I said, why is there silence in the room?
Idris Elba. Can I say it one more time?
You can say it one more time. Idris Elba is for
Casey?
You. Casey.
Michael Ealy.
Oh, come on. Are you serious?
Look, I'm going to take it back to 1970s. It's Michael Ealy for me, too. That brother.
Why the 70s? Why is he the
Because
70s?
That was like, you know, the era when like light skin, blue eyes, was the thing.
Yeah, yeah. You know what got it for me with him is Think Like a Man. Him in that movie, Think Like a Man, yeah. I was like...
Okay. Something about him. I like
Don't
Michael
take
Ealy.
My black card.
You have not seen Think Like a Man? Girl, gone.
Oh, okay. Let's put that on your list here. This weekend, okay?
On that note,
yes.
Thank you all for joining us today.
Are we wrapping? All right, good.
Join us for the next episode of Thriving While Black, the podcast.